speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Now, the evangelism that we are to all practice, and of course, we learn from our Lord that we are commanded to do that. Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You know, it is a wonderful thing to see the right privilege which is ours to teach others. We have emphasized the qualifications that are needful to do this. We have emphasized the fact that there are the lost that we must see. And we have emphasized the fact that if we don't do it, we can't be saved. Now, I'm saying to you these things, not urging those who are not with ability to do it, to do it. Because James even says, be not many teachers, knowing ye shall receive the greater condemnation. But if you don't have the talent to do evangelism, then you need to work as hard as you can to develop what talent you have in order that you may be able to do as much as you can in preaching and spreading the gospel to others. I've oftentimes thought that we probably can do more than we think. And if we'll use our talents with our neighbors, with our friends, with our families, we will be able to teach them right, and by that, we will benefit ourselves. The lesson today, I want to ask what evangelism will do for me. You know, oftentimes we discuss what it will do for others, and we want to be sure that we do show ourselves toward others as those who want them to have the gospel. But there are certain things evangelism does for me that I want to be thankful for. First of all, I know that it will cure all of my spiritual needs. It'll cure all your spiritual needs. Did you know it? If you are not doing evangelism, you're going to have some needs that will not be touched in any other way. So when I think about that, if I'm going to use my talents, if I'm going to realize my responsibilities in harmony with the Great Commission, I need to do evangelism. Not for just what I might do for others, but what I can do for myself. It will cure my spiritual needs. In Luke 19:10, it says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He used his talents. He realized his responsibility before God, and he wanted to carry out the Great Commission in his life, and he did. Our Lord never commanded anyone to do anything that he didn't do himself. So when we think about this, what are your spiritual needs? Can you carry them out in evangelism? You certainly can. It's something that will cure all of your spiritual needs. It'll also cure for others their spiritual needs. Because when the Lord said, go teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you, lo, he said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world, Matthew 28:20. So here we find it curing not only our spiritual needs, but the spiritual needs of others. When they have drunk of the waters of life, when they have enjoyed the bread of life, and understood that man doesn't live by physical bread alone, but also by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then we can see what evangelism is doing for us. I want to suggest, first of all, that evangelism will keep you humble. Do you know when you teach others, it keeps you humble? It will do that. And if you will try it, you will understand that that is true. Why do we not do evangelism? Well, mainly, pride keeps us from it, doesn't it? We sometimes have a spirit about us of pride, and we don't want to teach others because we're too proud to do that. You know, my friends, there are those, such as those on Pentecost, who cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? The treasurer, of course, in Acts 8:31, he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? When he was asked, do you understand what you're reading? These two instances show people who were looking for the gospel. And had these people, such as Peter and Philip, been so proud that they said, well, look, I just hate to teach anybody. I'm just really afraid that, well, to tell you the truth, I'm just a little too proud to do that. They would have never known the truth. Saul of Tarsus, of course, when the Lord told Ananias to go down there and teach him, Ananias said, Lord, I know how many things he's done to the saints that are at Jerusalem. I'm not sure I want to go. Was pride in his way? Could have been. But you know, he needed to go and teach Saul. Saul became one of the greatest preachers that's ever been known. Here's the jailer at Philippi. He fell and asked the disciples, "What must I do to be saved?" What if they'd have said, "Well, look, I kind of hate to tell him. He might get mad at me. I just don't know whether I can lower myself to do that or not." You know, these people were sincerely seeking the answers to the spiritual needs of their life. And it'll humble us when we tell them what is right. We have to subdue that pride. We've got to subdue it to the extent that we're willing to teach. And that's one of the great things that evangelism will do for me. You know, pride and soul winning or evangelism do not go hand in hand. Paul said, "I charge thee, Timothy, in the sight of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, you preach the word. Be instant or constant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But continue thou in all things, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry, suffer the hardships." Well, you know, if we're willing to do that, it'll keep us humble, won't it? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. But woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." You know, when we preach the gospel, it keeps us humble. In John 7:7, he said, "The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me, because I testify to it of the works that are evil." He rebuked the sins of the world. In John 3:19, he said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their works were evil." In John 15:19, he said, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Why does the world hate Christians? Well, because Christians are governed by principles and not the maxims and principles of the world. Now, you might be surprised that the world hates you, but it won't surprise you if you're doing soul winning. You'll know why the world hates you, because you condemn the sin of the world. Because you don't stand with those who are in sin. And so because of that, here's what evangelism will do for you. It'll keep you humble. In 2 Timothy 3:12, he said, "Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So inseparable to being devoted to the Christian life is some persecution. And if we're willing to do that, it'll humble us, won't it? What else will evangelism do for me? Well, it'll keep me from being selfish and self-centered too, won't it? When I see the real need for evangelism, but to some degree I suppose we're all self-centered, but Paul was not self-centered. In Romans 10, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now you recognize here, I'm sure, that God's righteousness is God's plan of salvation. That God's righteousness is His way of justification. You know, we have our own way, don't we? Sometimes we say, "Well, I know what I want to do, and I know what I don't want to do, and I'll just make up my own way here, and the Lord just have to save me because I've done what I want to do." I know that perhaps you've read Isaiah 64:4, haven't you? Where he said, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags, only to be thrown aside. Our righteousness, our way of justification, is as filthy rags that need to be disposed of." Psalms 119:1-2, he said, "All of thy commandments are righteousness." And so if we're going to do righteousness, we have to do the commandments of our Lord, not what we desire, but what He desires. And you know, that keeps us from being selfish. God's righteousness is God's plan of salvation. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also unto the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God." What's revealed there? The plan of salvation. The righteous plan by which we can become righteous. And so Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." which is in heaven. Now, God's way is far above our way. You know, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Your ways are not my ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, when we do evangelism, it keeps us humble because we realize we have to teach God's way, and we have to be humble enough to teach what the witnesses of the Lord taught. So here's what evangelism will do for me. It will keep me humble, and it will keep me from being selfish. But really, also, it will put a real purpose in my life. You know, a lot of people are living for nothing. They have no purpose. They have no aim. And let me tell you something, my friends. One man said, nothing walks on aimless feet. And that's true. If you don't have a purpose, you're not doing very well in life. What are you shooting at? You know, generally we hit what we're shooting at. And sometimes what we shoot at is not the right thing. Are you shooting at going to heaven? Are you aiming at that? If you don't aim, you'll never make it. That's one thing for sure. But if you aim to go to heaven, this will give you a real purpose in life. You know, Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust can consume and thieves can break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot consume, thieves do not break through and steal. For where thy treasure is, there thy heart is also. Where is your heart? What are you aiming at? What's the real important purpose of life for you? Jesus said, what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you ever thought about that? What would you exchange for your soul? If you really want purpose in life, evangelism will put real purpose in your life. We've been saved to save others. Did you know that? Paul said in Romans 6, 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who have died to sin live therein any longer? Or are you ignorant, brethren, that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, so also we should be raised to walk in newness of life. And then he says, know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants to obedience, his servants ye are, whom ye have obeyed, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked. That whereas you were the servants of sin, ye obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, in Romans 6 and verse 12, he said, now, brethren, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. As you have used your members as instruments unto unrighteousness, now use your members as instruments of righteousness. You know, that would put real meaning in our life, wouldn't it? If we could use our members now as instruments of righteousness, saying, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. You know the reason we don't oftentimes practice evangelism? Well, it may be that we're not humble enough. It may be we're too selfish. It may be we don't have a real purpose in life. But somebody says, you know, I just have some fears about trying to teach somebody, about inviting them to the services. I have some fears about trying to evangelize, even passing a tract out to a friend. Well, why do you have that fear? Well, I fear rejection. What if they don't like me? What if they say something ugly to me? Well, what if they do? I have an idea. Noah had quite a few ugly things said to him when he tried to preach to others. I know that Christ did. I know the treatment that he received. Friend, fear of that may keep you from the real purposes of life, but don't let it happen. Well, you say, I don't know all the answers. Well, who does? I don't think you need to know all the answers. Don't try to bluff yourself through on something. If somebody asks you a question, find the answer. That's what we as Christians ought to do. And you know, that takes study, doesn't it? And maybe that's the reason we don't want to do it. Get some help. There are plenty of people who will be glad to help you if you don't have the answers. And then, of course, return with the answer. But somebody said it may lose their friendship. Well, if you do, you haven't lost much. If teaching the gospel to someone loses their friendship, friend, what have you lost? You may learn how honest or dishonest your friend may be. But these are not things that we really ought to worry about, are we? What we need to realize is that the majority of people are bound for hell. He said the broad way leads to destruction, and many are they that are in that. What we need to see is that individual responsibility of teaching others is on our shoulders. What we need to do is speak the truth in love. What we need to do is not procrastinate and lose our soul. We need to prepare as teachers. If we want to teach others, we can. And of course, we need to pray for the lost, and then we'll want to teach them more. We need to look for opportunities, not close our eyes to those around us who need to be taught. We need to exhibit patience, do we not? You know, these are things that will really make life important to us, won't they? They will keep us humble, they will keep us from being selfish, and they'll give us a real purpose in life. But that's not all. You know what evangelism will do? For an individual, it'll keep you from backsliding. You know, it's so easy to slip back into the world, isn't it? So easy to quit doing what we ought to be doing. To let up on the attendance at services, say, well, I don't believe I'll go Wednesday night. Then I don't believe I'll go Sunday night. Then I don't think I'll be there for Bible study Sunday morning. And then before long we say, you know, I just don't have much interest in the Lord's work anymore. No wonder. You're not doing the Lord's work. Now, when you quit doing the Lord's work and you began to slip, friend, you better catch on right quick, or you'll be gone. Evangelism will keep us from doing what we don't want to do. I don't know of anybody that actually wants to backslide, but I know a lot who have. We can just drift away. And that's the reason Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them drift away from us, or slip away from us. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, you neglect evangelism, you're going to neglect your salvation. And you began to drift. Indeed, you began to be enticed back into the things of the world. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 says, if after we have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we begin to be entangled again therein, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Well, you know, I don't want to be drawn back into the world. How am I going to keep from doing that? Well, one of the answers is evangelism. When you're busy in the Lord's work, you're not going to drift away. Did you know it? It's not until we become drifters that we go back into the world. 1 Corinthians 15:58, the reason Paul said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, or as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No, it's not in vain. And evangelism will keep us from drifting away. What will evangelism do for me? Well, it'll make you concerned for the lost. Are you concerned this morning for the lost? You know why you're not if you're not? Because you haven't been doing any evangelism. You really haven't decided you need to do that because people are lost. You say, well, I know they're lost. Well, not really, you don't. Many people think that those in the world are perfectly all right. They think that when they die, they're bound to be going to heaven, even though they've never done the will of the Lord. They've not been faithful. They've not obeyed the gospel. You know, we need to be more concerned about who is lost and what is lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He gave His efforts to do that. It was because men needed that. It was because He was concerned about the lost. We have to know and see when a man is lost. Do you see and know a person that is lost? Do you see them as lost? Without hope? Without eternity in heaven? You know, we can teach them about the Lord's church. We can help them to understand the plan of salvation. We can invite them to be a part of that which is for their eternal welfare. Take heed unto yourselves, 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto yourselves and unto your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Evangelism will make us concerned about the lost. What else will evangelism do for me? It'll give you joy. I don't know of any lasting joy that is greater than teaching someone and seeing them obey the gospel. You can't buy that with money. Now, there are those, of course, who, according to John 8:44, he said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will to do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, I'm either of my father the devil, or I'm of my father the God of heaven. And whether I'm doing the work of my father in heaven or the work of the devil, I determine. And if I'm doing evangelism, I know it's going to give me lasting joy, because I know I'm serving my father. David was a missionary. He said in Psalms 126, 5 and 6, "They sow in tears, but they reap in joy." He said, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with joy, bringing his sheaves with him." We don't sing that old song much anymore, "Bringing in the sheaves," but we ought to. Maybe it would cause us to do more evangelism, because we could realize the lasting joy that could be ours. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20, Paul said, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not ye?" Are not ye? He's talking to Christians there whom he converted. "Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy." Can you say that of anybody whom you have taught the will of God to? Philippians 4:1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." What's he talking about? The great happiness and joy that was his because of the faithfulness of those he'd converted. Then again in Revelation 22:17, he said, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and let whosoever will take of the water of life freely." What a joy. And that's the kind of joy it'll bring to your life when you do evangelism. But you know, evangelism will do something else for us. It'll bring us to our knees. In Luke the 8th chapter, beginning verse 11, he said, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." And he said, "Those by the wayside are they that have heard, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart." Now, sad to think there's some whom we're going to teach who it won't take on. The devil will come and snatch the seed away, that they may not believe and be saved. That's bad, isn't it? "And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, but these have no root. And for a while they believe, and in the time of temptation, they fall away." Oh, my. Puts you on your knees, doesn't it? To think that you've given the word, you've striven to teach, and there's some who won't accept it to the extent the devil takes it away from them right quick. Others who have no root. "And then they that fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and they go their way, and they're choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit unto perfection." What are you going to do about that, friend? Here's three out of four that are very disappointing, aren't they? Very hard to take. When you have taught and you've preached and you've coerced men, persuaded men, tried to bring them to the knowledge of the truth, and then they so slightly seem to appreciate the truth, it's hard, isn't it? Evangelism will bring you to your knees. Don't do it unless you know these things. But then again, there's this fourth one. "And that in the good ground these are such that as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they hold it fast, and they bring forth fruit with patience." And there's where the joy comes in. That's something that men, of course, ought to desire. Soul winning will give you that lasting joy. Evangelism will also drive you to your knees, but last of all, evangelism will keep you studying the Bible. Did you know it? You can't teach something you don't know. And evangelism is going to keep you studying. "Oh, I know the command, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I know that command, don't you? But are you living it? Are you listening to it? "I know the command of 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge and in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't know how many people are keeping that command to you. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and fear." Oh, I know that command, but I don't know too many are keeping it. Evangelism will do these things for you. So I'm hopeful that not only will you see the needs of others, but you'll see the need of yourself. And you know Matthew 7:12, the golden rule still reads, "As you would that men should do unto you, do ye even also unto them." Would you have somebody to teach you the right way of the Lord? Then how can we keep from trying to teach others the right way of the Lord? I hope this series of lessons has been helpful to you. I'm hopeful that you will realize the importance and the need of evangelism, and that our lives may be filled with that which brings the truth into the lives of others. You may be here this morning and not a Christian. We want to evangelize you. And evangelism simply means to carry the good news. And the good news is that you can be saved, that you don't have to be lost. That there is a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, and He wants you to hear Him, believe Him, repent of the sins of your life, confess the name of Jesus before men, be buried with your Lord in baptism. He says He'll wash away your sins if you do. Now, you can't wash away your own sin. There's no way that the water here will wash away your sins except in obedience to the command of the Lord. But when you obey that command, God does the washing, and God will wash you clean. And He says their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. And you can be clean this morning from those past mistakes of sin that you've committed. And if you would, we would to God that you would do that. If you're here and you've been a Christian and yet you haven't done the work of the Lord, you need to repent this morning and start in the right direction. And if you're subject in any way, will you come now? While together we stand and while we sit.